doing this morning? Good. I'm excited. I am so excited to be able to speak to you guys today about the book of 2 Timothy. Now, Pastor Bill spent the last couple weeks going over you, did a fantastic job giving us the outline of the book and really kind of what's going on with Paul and where he is. So we understand that Paul's in, wow, I am really loud, dude. You can turn me down just a little bit. I have a boomy voice. So we understand that Paul is, because I'm going to get loud, you know it. Paul's in prison and he's writing this in the final days of his life, so we can kind of understand. I think it helps us when we understand what's going on in the writer's mind. It gives a little bit more weight to the words when we understand the struggle that he's dealing with on a daily basis. Paul and Timothy had a great relationship, one where Timothy was discipled by Paul. They traveled together, they ministered together, they learned together. Theirs was a mentor relationship. One where Timothy looked to Paul for perspective, for wisdom, and for guidance. Paul was never short on words either, so the advice and encouragement was always readily available, as we see in 2 Timothy and many of the books that Paul authored, filled with encouragement in the word, encouragement in Christ. So we see that. But I really want to take a look at, right off the bat, the opening line. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to 2 Timothy, and we're going to look, really we're going to concentrate on verses 1 through 5. But we're going to look at 1:1. I think just by looking at this singular sentence, we can understand a little bit about what's on Paul's mind. Now, I don't know if you guys are like me, but when you read through this, you're like, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Cool, he just told who he was. Okay, that's good. But it's so much more than that. He's letting Timothy know a couple of very important things. Number one, that he is a man called by God, that he has a purpose above his own, something that we really need to take a page from. And also, that he seeks to follow God's will over his own. As you say, by the will of God. It's so funny that we just look at this and these things can just be lost. We know that Paul is a man who seeks to follow God's will above his own. Why? He says in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain, meaning that I just want to live as Christ. I just want to emulate his life. I want to go and be sacrificial and give and love and invest in people. This is what I want to do. And this is what I want my ministry to be about, as should ours be. As should ours be as well. The reflection of Christ's life. What we see next is his purpose statement, and it says here, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. This was a reminder to both Paul and Timothy what his life had been about, what his entire apostleship had been about, to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, to make him known in whatever way God wanted to see that happen. In whatever way, whether it drug him through the mud or took him to the highest mountain, he didn't care, he just wanted to see it done. I love the fact that Paul doesn't mince words. He doesn't use excess phrases. Listen, if I wrote that, it'd probably take me 3 paragraphs to say all that stuff. And he says it in one singular sentence. This is who I am. I am called, and this is my purpose. My purpose above all else is what? To know him and to make him known. And we see it right from the opening sentence, right from the get. He's like, here it is. Here's your letter, and understand where we're going with this. I think a lot can be learned by looking at the relationship between Paul and Timothy. Just from the couple verses of the initial chapter, they had a mentor relationship, but it was discipleship, but it was so much more than just teaching. Do you understand? They lived together. They traveled together. Paul was constantly stretching Timothy, taking him out of his comfort zone as they went from one place to the next to the next. It was so much more than just a singular, well, we're going to put this relationship into a box. It didn't really fit into that box. So when we look at a mentor relationship, because this is how I would describe them, is a mentor relationship. What is a mentor to you? What does that word mean? Teacher? Okay. That's really what I thought too. I'm like, yeah, it's somebody, you know, somebody that's going to teach you something. Yeah. It's defined as an experienced or trusted advisor. Somebody that has experience in an area that they're going to give you advice about, right? So you're going to be someone who can be trusted to give godly and sound advice, someone who listens, who helps, who encourages, who prays, and who motivates you. Someone who offers fresh perspectives and views, because we know we can get locked into one perspective and we can ice that sucker in stone, and then we don't really like anybody to change that perspective. But it's always good to have different perspective, fresh and new perspective. This is a mentor. It can be called discipleship. That can be part of it. But it's one where you know this person has something to offer. And so you go into this relationship understanding, I'm going to listen, number one. I'm going to listen to what they say. I'm going to learn, and we are going to grow together. See, when it's in a discipleship role, it's I'm discipling you, and you're learning and learning. Okay. But in a mentorship role, there's a give and there's a take. There's absolutely a give and a take. We're all plugged in right now. So relationships are getting more and more difficult for us, right? Because we've got Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. And I think this is pretty cool. Because when we first got on Facebook, everyone was like, Facebook is amazing, right? And then all of us oldies, I'm going to put myself in that category. All those oldies started migrating to Facebook, right? And we're like, this is cool. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, heck no. My parents are on Facebook. I'm out, right? So then they went to Snapchat. And all of a sudden, now you see grandma going, I can be a deer and I can be a dog. And then they're going to move to something else. But what this does is this creates this repetitiveness where they're trying to stay one step ahead of us in how they create relationships online and how they connect with each other online. But we know, and it's proven that this further isolates us. It actually takes us away from one another. We have to understand that, and we need to seek out real world relationships, face to face, not behind a computer screen 100% of the time or just through phone and text messages, but to sit down with somebody face to face and look them in the eye and talk to them. We have gotten away from that. We absolutely have. I know that it's difficult, okay? I know that you're thinking in your head, I'm going to sit down with this person. What am I going to say? I understand. What happens when there's an uncomfortable silence? Because there will be. There will be. What happens? What do I do when there's an uncomfortable silence? I'm not going to minimize those questions at all. They are very valid concerns for you to have. But they should never stop you from getting out of your comfort zone and investing in those relationships. Why? Because they are not just any relationships. They are relationships with a purpose. I love my wife. I love her to death. She is the best. She is an extreme introvert, the most extreme introvert, just like me, right? So it pains her to do these things. And if you believe that, number one, you don't know what an introvert is, or number two, you don't know me. So you should talk to me after the service. But it pains her to go out and to talk to people. It's a struggle for her to communicate with people. And you see her in here and she's like, hi. And before she walks in the door, she's like, oh. But here's the deal. And I see it. I see the pain in her eyes. I see the nauseated stomach hours before she has to go and hang out with somebody. I did say hours before she has to go and hang out with somebody. She always comes up and asks me, she goes, babe, why do I do this to myself? And I don't know. Well, deal with it. But here's the deal. I'm going to say something to you right now, and I want you to listen to me really carefully. You might think, well, she hangs out with me. Gosh, what has it got to do with me? Listen to me carefully. It's got nothing to do with you. Nothing. It's got everything to do with her, but not in a bad way. It's just not her forte. It's not her forte to go out and just mingle with people. She has to force conversations. But you know what's crazy? What's really crazy is I watch my wife time and time again do it. I watch my wife put her in situations. She goes, oh, why do I do this? Because she understands above all else, she needs it. When she sits down and she meets with those ladies and they encourage her and they strengthen her in Christ, she comes back and goes, ah. And that strengthens her for the next time that she needs to meet with them. These ladies have been a huge help to my wife as she's strengthened her in Christ and given her encouragement and affirmation and all the things that she needs. And it strengthened our relationship as husband and wife because she has this within her life. Is it difficult for her? Yes. Is it rough and she gets sick to her stomach? Yes. Is it her problem because she has to deal with it? Yeah. But she knows above all else, she understands the purpose for it, and that drives out the other things. It just makes them not as important. Different perspective. It's very important for all of us to be engaged in these type of relationships. We hear the word mentor and we think of somebody that's older and wiser than me. That's just what I think. I don't know if you guys are with me on that. But when I think older or a mentor, I think somebody who is older and somebody who is more intelligent than I am. But it doesn't mean any of those things. The person needs not be older nor more intelligent than you. They need to have something to offer you, a perspective or something that they can offer you that you can create and form a relationship and walk together within this relationship. It is absolutely paramount. If you're using this relationship purely for advice, I'm going to come to you and you're just going to tell me what I need to do and that's it. Okay? And maybe. But as Christians, we need to look beyond that. We can't say, well, a mentor relationship is just going to be this and then go ahead and just set down this in stone criteria that we always have to do. No, because it's so much more than that. We're there for one another. We walk with one another. We bear each other's burdens. We pour into each other and learn from one another. We are there for one another. And that is so much more than just coming to me when you need to know how to do something. Or when you need advice on something, it's so much more than that. Listen, when I first became a Christian and I was plugged into this church when I was seeking. I didn't realize that I'd already found what I was looking for. But you understand, I am an extrovert, absolutely, 100%, 97% according to my online profile test. But when I don't know anybody, I'm quiet. I'm not crazy right off the bat. And then you get to know me and I'm like, bah! So it's actually hard for me to create relationships. It really is, actually. So how do I have so many? Well, I got involved here. That's how I have so many. Why? I committed to going to a life group. And here's the crazy thing about life group. You're like, oh my God. Going and having a one-on-one meeting with somebody is way more intimidating than sitting down in a life group with people. Because you can sit there and Matt can say something and you can go, I can add something to what Matt just said. And so I'm going to talk to Matt. And then maybe Matt and I strike up a conversation after. It doesn't force you to force the conversations. And then when you're serving with somebody, you're having a joy in doing God's work together and you get to know people. I know that there are many of you in here that have formed these amazing relationships because you have served and been committed to this church. And I'm telling you that if you're looking around going, I don't know how to make these relationships, I'm giving it to you right now. Be involved, be committed, be engaged here, and you'll see the value of that. Through life groups, I met Nick, and I was a baby Christian. I didn't know anything about the Bible, and Nick began to disciple me. Now, if any of you guys know Nick, he's younger than I am, about 5 years younger than I am. People, oh, how could you have somebody? Let's just strike that from your memory right now. Let's just strike that from your mind right now, because the man is more knowledgeable in God's word than I was at the time. And he had a lot that he could offer me. And the crazy part is I went into it a baby Christian. You know, give me the bottle. I don't even know what I'm doing. And I never once felt as though I was inferior in knowledge. What happened was we grew and we learned together. I poured into me and I poured into him. And it's crazy. I didn't see that until years later when I looked and he was like, man, that relationship was so amazing for me because not only did I get to see you grow and do these things, but you challenged me and you questioned me. Yes. Okay. I had all kinds of questions. I would write out crazy questions and I had theories and I would bring him theories and this is the type of relationship. One where he could go, no, it's like this. And we learn and grew together. And I challenged him to go and dive in and do some research on maybe some of the things that he didn't know. So it was a give and take. And through this time in my life, you guys have to understand, was a great time of personal and spiritual growth that coincided with this relationship. And if you're looking and saying, I don't feel like I'm growing. I don't feel like I'm doing. Ask yourself, do you have it? Do you have anything that remotely qualifies as something like this? And if not, that's a big, big problem. I look at the value that Timothy had to Paul, not only in his relationship, but in his ministry. Listen to this. It says in 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Timothy was a man who was covered in prayer by his friend and his mentor, Paul. There wasn't a time that went by, a day that went by, that Paul wasn't praying for Timothy. On the outside, I know that sometimes when we say, oh, I pray for you constantly, it doesn't mean much. And I know it doesn't mean much. Why? Because we have people over here that want to pray for you every week and no one goes to them. So we've kind of lost that a little bit. But when we look at it here, I pray for you night and day. And when I sat out in those chairs and I was just coming here and serving, I would hear Pastor Bill and the other leaders and our board members say, you need to pray for your pastor and pray for people. And I was like, I mean, what, you know, if I feel bad, I will. And then I started to grow and learn in this relationship. And I started to understand the power of prayer, like truly understand it. and I started understanding why we needed to pray. But it still didn't really click, and then I was in this position, and I covet your prayers. I need them. They strengthen me. They encourage me. I cannot tell you what I would do if I didn't know that you were praying for me. And there are many of you that come up and say, I'm praying for you, Pastor. I'm praying for you. And I go, thank you very much. Because on the days when I don't have encouragement, when the days when I'm dragging my feet, I remember that and know that the people that love me are supporting me, confirming me, and praying for me. And you need these people in your life. It doesn't just mean because you're up on this stage speaking. You need those people just as much as I need you. And if you're going through your life and you don't have that, you are not running on all your cylinders. He prays for his friend daily. I think it's telling. He says, I thank God for the fact that I can even come to God to pray for you. I thank God that I have a clear conscience that I can remember you in my prayers. This is an amazing thing. For anyone, this is truly invaluable. 1 Timothy 1:4, it says, I remember your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. He remembers it. He longs for another meeting. This tells a lot about the value that Paul sees in Timothy. You can break this down to say this. I remember you. I long to see you. And you bring me joy. What type of relationship do you have in your life that mimics something like this? We need to have these. The struggles, everything, the heartaches along the way. It's a fantastic statement about the state of their relationship and where it was. We're called to have these. Why? Because when we're in this type of relationship, we build each other up. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We are to be in these relationships because we become dull very, very quickly. And we think, well, I haven't been sharpened in a year. I'm still fine. You are a butter knife. You need to be sharpened. We need to get back to that. When Pastor Bill was like, okay, we're going to have you and you know, we're going to get you in as the associate pastor, I was like, whoa, I'm freaked out. So I went and sought advice from people. And this is what I heard. Find a mentor. And I was like, yes, of course, accountability, of course. And they were like, yeah, but more than that. Like this person, you learn together, you grow, they teach you, give advice and perspective. And I was like, oh, discipleship, sweet. And they were like, no, that and then some. Like you're just trying to pigeonhole it. It's all of that, but not just that. There's so much more. So I was like, okay. I know a lot of people here. I know many of you. And I could sit here and go, okay, there's so many of you. I have a plethora of amazing people to choose from to ask if you would like to have this type of relationship with me. Why? Small groups, serving, just being involved. Through conversation, I felt led to ask a person I didn't even really know that well. Crazy, right? So I go and I talk to a bunch of people who know him. And pray it through with God, and he's the guy. Now, I'm not telling you this to bore you with how. I'm telling you this so you understand the importance of it. Not just I'm going to have a relationship with you. It's important. It is so important. Kent and I meet every other week, and we started out meetings for just an hour. We said, oh, we're just going to meet for an hour, and then we meet for about 2.5 hours. There's no agenda. There's never been an agenda of what we talk about. And when I first got there, I'm like, oh, there's going to be this uncomfortable silence. I don't even know this guy. Like, what's going to happen? It was just... And all of a sudden, we were talking about each other's families. Then I was getting to know him. And I was getting to understand his faith history. And he was getting to understand mine. And I asked him questions, and he answered. And he gave me honest and real advice. And you don't understand, I could love this man. I could come to him with whatever. I come to him and say, I'm having a problem with this. And he goes... Here's my advice. Here's a perspective that maybe you didn't think about. I can come to this man and I can complain about this. I can complain about my boss to him. I can do all kinds of things. I don't ever do that though, I promise.
Right.
But have someone in your corner. Listen, I started saying, oh, we encourage each other, but let's be real. He encourages me. He teaches me. He admonishes me if I need it. It's a fantastic relationship. One where I know he is on my side and with me no matter what. And you understand how this strengthens me when I have to step outside of my comfort zone, knowing there's somebody who prays for me, who prays for my family, who prays for this church and you and your pastors. It's unreal. Through my conversations with Kent and Nick, through getting to know them, I understand their faith history, and what this did was it built my own. So my faith was strengthened by simply investing in a relationship. Man, do you guys see this stuff? I hope you see this stuff coming around full circle. Like God is like, I'm making you a relational being. And now do you understand that when you get into these relationships, they are good for you. And they will give you things that you need. And they will encourage you and motivate you as you do my work on this earth. And you go, well, I don't need that relationship. Where is your motivation coming from? And your affirmation, where is it coming from? That well will soon run dry. 1 Timothy 1:5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. I think this speaks volume because it reminds us of this sincere faith that Paul is witnessing in Timothy. We talked a couple months ago about the witness and about how we as Christians just got away from it. We think of witnessing to people who don't know Jesus. Witness to somebody who does. Witness and say, I see this faith in you. And so it strengthens you. You have to understand where Paul was, where Timothy was right now. Paul left Timothy. He said, I got to go to Macedonia. I got to go. And you need to be in charge of Ephesus. You need to be in charge of the church here and make sure they're not preaching heresy. But I have to go. And the person that you've leaned on, now I'm going. And so what I'm going to do is encourage you. Why? Because I see the faith, the strong, sincere, honest faith that your grandmother and your mother had. And I see it in you. You have to understand how much of an encouragement and affirmation this is for Timothy as he's walking this path. This affirmation is precious to those who find us stretched and wondering where God will have us. See, because affirmation, confirmation, and encouragement are all fuel for us. They fuel us and they motivate us. But here's the deal, is if you're not going anywhere, then fuel in your tank doesn't mean anything to you. When you're stretched and you're expending your energy, this fuel, we value it differently. Why? Because it affects us differently. If I'm hanging on and somebody affirms me, I'm like, yes, oh, I got a little fuel in my tank. I can go another. But if I'm like, I'm not even hanging on here. I'm sitting on a couch. I'm not doing anything or going anywhere. Why do I need motivation and affirmation? So you understand that while it fuels us all, we value it differently because it just affects us differently. We're all ministers. We are all ministers. We know, right? It says in Romans, ministers of reconciliation. So we have a job to do that God has put us on this earth. You are called by God with a purpose greater than your own. Your own letter starts out this way. You called by God with a purpose greater than your own. We need to get out and start actually doing that. We call it religion. But what it really means is helping the widows and orphans, as it says in James, being sacrificial in our worship and our giving, meeting people where they are and investing in these relationships. This is what it's about. We have got to get back to that. Not fabricated over a computer screen, but real, face-to-face. Why? Because when I sit down with Jacob and I have a face-to-face conversation with him, he can't really hide things from me. He can say, well, I'm doing okay. Lies. You're not, because I can see it all over your face, but he can text me, I'm doing okay, and I'm like, okay, cool. Let's get back to that. We see in the first 5 verses how important this is to Paul and what he's trying to encourage and strengthen Timothy as he left him and said, okay, the training wheels are off, but here is my encouragement to you because of our relationship that we invested in. Going back to that relationship, it is absolutely critical. It's paramount for our effectiveness in Christ. To have this relationship is a number one importance. We need to be investing in these relationships. Because otherwise, we do this. We like Bill says, we go through life like this. I don't want you in my circle. But you understand that when these people come in your circle, they offer you something and they bring value. And you value them differently. You just do. Who in your life do you trust to give you godly advice? Ask yourself these questions. Who do you know well enough to be completely honest with? And I know some of you are like, oh, my friend, yeah, this person. Completely honest? Godly advice? who in your life brings these qualities to a relationship: perspective, wisdom, godly advice, friendship, accountability, discipleship, encouragement, affirmation. Where are you getting these things from? We get them through reading God's word and being with God's people and investing in those relationships. I cannot adequately express to you how important these relationships are in the life of a Christian and being sold out for Jesus. Hey, if you're on the couch and you want to stay on the couch, then this type of relationship isn't for you. But if you want to move and do things and say, I'm called by God and I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do it, there's going to come a time when your tank is empty and you're going to need that motivation and encouragement and affirmation. You're going to need those things to press on. You're going to need those things when you're walking with somebody and they take the training wheels off and they go, I'm going to go this way. And it's time for you to start forging that path that God has placed out for you. What tools do you have? We talk all about tools and we walk out and we go, I'm ready. And they go, where's your sword and shield? But I don't have that. Where's your boots? But I don't have that. Where's your motivation and your army of people behind you pushing you? But I don't have that. Then what are you doing? Are you ready for war? No, I'm just going to say that I am. Do you understand that we have Christians who just say, I'm ready, but they don't know what they're ready for because they haven't been equipped to do anything. It's like we hand you the shield and sword and we go, yeah, and you go, and where am I going to go? And we go, I don't know, man. Just do whatever you're going to do. We look and say, how are we going to affect the people around us? How am I going to reach out to the people around us and get these people in my life so that when it's time for me to go and I say, this is where we're going, I look beyond and I have a team of people with me praying for me and encouraging me or fighting and just walking out. Do you understand when we have this, the very fact that we have it motivates us? The very fact that we have people that love us and care for us, that we can talk to at any point in the day, that it motivates us to do more. I want you to be motivated. Let's cultivate those relationships. Let's seek them. Because here's the deal. If you're not, nobody will. We've gotten into this vein of, somebody else is going to deal with it. No. Look at me now. No one else is going to deal with it except for you. You have to be the one in your own life doing this. You have to be the one reaching out. Let's get out of our comfort zones. Let's be stretched and let's grow in Christ with one another. Let's value that, because let me tell you one thing. When you take things from the want and put them into the need category, they're just prioritized differently. Take it from the want and understand that you need it. If you walk out of here with anything, you know that you need it, but I've given you why you need it. And that why should be the motivation to actually go out and make a change. Love you guys. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you so much for the relationship between Paul and Timothy. And as we have, as we see it played out, Father, that there was a loving relationship, one of discipleship and accountability, but so much more than that. It was a mentor relationship and one that we can learn so much from. So God, guide us as we go through this life and surround us with those people that will speak into our life and offer us a fresh perspective or godly wisdom and advice, Father. Help us to understand that even if we're an introvert, God, and we have problems with these conversations, that doesn't stop us from the call to get out there and do it anyway. Father, give us the courage and the strength to push through our uncomfortableness, to push through our self-doubt, and God, and get out there and do what you've called us to do. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.